And what that means is that looking at people completely the same, no matter what, whether they're black or white or whatever race they are. Thing is, being colorblind isn't really possible because we just aren't. No matter how not racist you think you are, you're still going to think something when you see somebody who just without even realizing it.
Right, right.
So you have to realize that and own that and realize that you can do good things with that. Like, you can let people talk when they have, when they're more qualified to talk about something than you. You can try not to talk over people. You can let you can listen to people because they have really good ideas about something that you might not have even thought of before.
And also going back to what Shahid said about like, oh, it's not affecting me, so I don't really need to do anything about it. People also need to understand racism isn't just a problem going on in America, where we have the opportunity to speak our minds and do something about it. There are other countries all over the world where race is such a huge problem, and not only race, but every social issue. So just not doing something here, you need to do something because not many people have this opportunity.
We just got a tweet from at HX Delante. What do you say to those who claim problems with culture appropriations are bogus because their ideas aren't property?
So cultural appropriation is a big issue that we need, that has become kind of a buzzword right now. There's this idea of you shouldn't steal somebody's culture. But it seems like Shahid has something he wants to say about it.
I do think that, you know, some ideas, they could be open and not necessarily claiming to one person or type of people. Well, if that's it, then we can go back to the non-racist, anti-racist. And I had a point was you said you can't be colorblind. But I had a question. Is having a preference being racist?
It depends. What do you mean by a preference? Do you mean like in relationships or what?
In life. If I get on, okay, this is going to be racist, but if I get on a bus and I see a majority of black people in the back, I'm going to sit in the back. Or if I go to a school and I see three or four black people, I'm going to hang out with them. Is that me being preferenceable or is that me being racist?
I mean, in that situation, that's something, your race and your culture is something that you have in common with those people. And it's kind of a touchy thing to think about because there is kind of a double standard. Because, I mean, if it's me and I see a bunch of white people hanging out and I immediately go hang out with them, that's different. So it's kind of, I'm not really sure what my opinion on that is. What about you, MZ?
I think that also ties in with the whole reverse racism thing. How I think if you have a preference and I think that's a lot to do with culture. I don't think that's necessarily like a race like preference. You're not like, oh, they're black. You're like, oh, I can like identify with these people and have things in common. So I think that's the bigger answer.
That's a really good point. And we'll make sure to get back to that after we take this short break. We'll be back with more Streaming Justice after this on Youth Express.
When the glory comes, it will be ours. It will be ours.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Streaming Justice, a youth-led discussion on civil rights, past, present, and future, in honor of Dr. King, with Mirnaz, Shahid, and Abraham, and Julia. That's me. So last time, we had a question from at Historical Dilettante about cultural appropriation and whether you think that's a real thing or not. And just to provide some background, cultural appropriation is the idea that somebody can sort of misuse a piece of somebody's culture. For instance, somebody dressing up in a Native American headdress while not actually being Native American, or wearing a stereotypically Mexican costume at Halloween. And a lot of people think that that's not right, that you shouldn't use someone's culture as a costume. So what do you guys think about that?
I think it depends on where you're from and where you're at, because I know a lot of white people that are from the same neighborhood as me, the same music as me, and they might be approached or seen as, well, they're acting black, or I've known them since third grade, and they're as hood or as gangster as me, and it's nothing to do with their race or their preference. It's just that's where they're raised at. My father lived in San Diego and was surrounded by people Latino culture, and he loved listening to I forget, but it's just Mexican music and rolling around in Spanish, and I have no idea what they're saying, but he's jamming to it, and he's not being insensitive or anything. That's where he was raised, in San Diego.
Well, I think a big thing about cultural appropriation is, like, when you are not surrounded by these cultures and you know nothing about it and you're being sort of ignorant, I think that's where the problem arises. Like, yeah, if you are white and you live in a stereotypical black community, I don't think you know what they stand for, and you're pretty much part of their community, regardless of race. But I think the problem is whenever you are a white person and on Halloween you just wear like a Native American costume stereotypically, you don't understand what they mean and how each piece of their outfits and their headdresses symbolize something, and they mean something very important to the Native American culture. And a lot of people just simply don't know this. They don't understand. They don't understand that each bead means something to these people. Each color represents something. And I think that's where the problem is. They're not respecting the other culture.
A lot of the discourse about cultural appropriation has to do with the idea of sharing culture versus stealing culture. Now, what Shahid was talking about before with people in his neighborhood being into some of the aspects of more black culture, that seems like it's more of a sharing thing, because both sides of the culture thing are okay with it, and they're obviously not using it for any malicious purpose. But like what MZ said about the like the costumes and stuff being sort of misused, that you don't have they don't have the perspective, they don't have the education to really use that in the proper situation.
A wise man once said, I'm joking, his name was Exhibit, the rapper. It was an MTV interview, and they're asking about Eminem. He said, how do you feel about Eminem? And he says, as long as he respects it, I can dig it. So as long as you respect my culture, I don't care. As long as you're not, like, making a satirical mock, or, you know what I'm saying, not being sensitive to really what I stand for and what I can be doing. So, like, people who are, you know, do fake rap videos or something, that's, it can be funny to some people, but they'd be like, hey, that's racist. So if you can respect it, then I can dig it.
And you gotta understand the boundaries that are within certain communities. For instance, I mean, in no situation is it really ever okay for a white person to say the N-word. Mm-hmm. And people know that. That's a widely known fact. And if you know that, then why would you sort of break that cultural thing? It's a cultural sort of taboo like any other thing.
I agree. Same with like blackface. Like, you know, that's coming from a hateful place. So when you do things like that, it's for the sole purpose to be offensive and mean.
What about whiteface? You ever watched White Chicks?
Yeah.
Is that racism or is that reverse racism?
Reverse racism is kind of a touchy topic, and it's the idea of reverse racism would be that white people can be oppressed, with finger quotes here, in the same way that black people can. And some people defend it by saying this things like, well, if there's a black entertainment network, why isn't there a white entertainment network? Or if there's a Black History Month, then why isn't there a White History Month? Well, the thing is, every month is White History Month, unfortunately. Our culture is kind of rooted in a place of whiteness, and that's the sort of, unfortunately, the base on which everything else seems to be built. So, somebody want to say something else about that?
Well, I don't believe in reverse racism. I mean,
me neither.
Me neither.
I don't see reverse racism as like a thing, because some people would be like, there's a blackpeoplemeet.com, and then white people meet came out, and then that was seen as an issue. Or I was seen as, if you have a preference to white people and you want to search, do that, then go ahead. That's all fine by you. If you want to have a preference not being racism, then yeah, you can do that.
Well, the thing, like going back to what Julia said, like our world, our society is white. We see in white. Like in the entertainment industry, there's so much backlash on like Oscars and other Academy Awards about like, oh, black people are underrepresented. And I think that is genuinely an issue, because we don't really see many movies where there is a specific culture being represented if it's not in a stereotypical sense.
That's a great point.
Well, there's a sample of Streaming Justice. I'm sorry, I just happened to hear that Phil Oakes song in the background that it caught my ear when I'm gone, is the music that was used as that was ending, and it's one of my favorite songs. That Streaming Justice episode was from 2016. Tune in on Martin Luther King Day at youthexpress.org or slbradio.org, 12 noon Eastern, for Streaming Justice 2022 coming up. Fat Man D is coming up with Deanna Witkowski in just a moment, broadcasting live from historic Allegheny Square, along with Chad Green, Ricky Berger, and Deanna, and Fat Man D. This is Larry Berger, and this is the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade. Saturday mornings at WRCT Pittsburgh, WIU PFM Indiana, WMCO New Concord, WNJR Washington, WCUC Clarion, PCTV, Comcast 21, Verizon 47, Pittsburgh, RadioPhoenix.org, Loudspeaker.fm, Fort Collins, Colorado, WMCK.fm, McKeesport, and internet radio stations and streaming services, including slbradio.org/radio.
The Creator's gift to her children must flow. Thousands of years before history recorded, print remained there. Future reminder of ages ago. Many lives later, a traveler crossed the same path. Under the vines, he saw traces of that footprint, silent testimony. Closer to them than we may want
to them than we may even know. Footprints, ancient footprints, footprints, ancient footprints, footprints, ancient
live on the radio, there is Fat Man Dan, Deanna Witkowski, and Wayne Shorter did the tune, and Kitty Margolis.
It was a Wayne Shorter composition, and the words are by Kitty Margolis. Or at least that's what the internet told me, and that's the story I'm sticking to.
And Deanna knows Kitty, or at least, so we'll have her verify.
Oh, sure. I can send a note to Kitty and double check on that for you.
Thank you. Thank you.
It's good to have you both here. We have a lot to talk about this hour. Deanna, you're one hot piano player. That was fun to listen to you.
Thank you. Well, it's a pleasure to be here.
Yay!
And, when did you start playing?
A long time ago when I was, you know, I think I started lessons when I was about 9. But my family moved a lot. We moved 11 times when I was a kid. So my mom actually couldn't afford a piano. So I started on a little 2-octave thing called an organaire until I ran out of keys. And then I practiced at a neighbor's house until my mom was able to get a old studio upright for $50. And that's what I had all through high school.
How did jazz piano become part of your life?
I started playing jazz in college. I was a classical piano major at Wheaton College outside of Chicago, and I had played in our really not so good high school jazz band for a couple of years, but I was interested in knowing about jazz. So there was a really great tenor saxophone player named Larry Pinella at Wheaton, and he was a great jazz player. So I had played flute pretty seriously, so flute and sax are similar fingering. So I started studying with Larry to learn about jazz because we had no jazz piano teacher. And that's when I really got into listening to music and getting into it.
What brought you to Pittsburgh?
Following Mary Lou Williams' story. So Mary Lou Williams is a great pianist and composer who grew up here. And I have a new biography out about her that came out this fall called Mary Lou Williams, Music for the Soul. And I came here to do some research for the book a few years ago. I lived here for a couple months and really liked it, and I kept getting more opportunities to come here, so I decided to move here.
We kept her. We were like, no Chicago, no New York City.
Isn't that
she's ours now?
It's the most wonderful. I love hearing stories like that, and I hope you'll stay here. You add to the fabric of the community greatly, and this is a great book. It gets hard for me to keep track sometimes. Deanna was on. We were talking about her at the time, just to be released book on Mary Lou Williams. And it's available. It's called Music for the Soul. And I wanted to get the publishing company.
So it's Liturgical Press. It's
Thank
a Catholic
you.
Publisher. It's part of a larger series about people who were Catholic at one point or another in their life. And that's a big part of Mary Lou's story, is when she was 47, she converted to Catholicism, and then she wrote a lot of sacred music after that.
Deanna also has a soon-to-be-released album called Force of Nature that will be ready.
It's coming out on January 28th on MCG Jazz, and it has 11 Mary Lou Williams compositions, some of which haven't been recorded since the 40s, and the title track is an original from Mary Lou, and there's also a few standards that she played a lot through her lifetime. So.
Wonderful. Let's turn to Fat Man D. It's good to see you.
It's good to see you, too, and it's so wonderful to be able to share this space with you and Deanna. You know, since she moved to Pittsburgh, since before she moved to Pittsburgh, I was like, I really like playing with you. We should stay for a while.
So you've got a million, as usual, a million things you're juggling and going on. Fat Mandy is always on the side of social justice and looking for ways to not just entertain, although she's quite good at that, but also to enlighten and sometimes inform also. What's going on that you'd like to talk about?
Later today, actually, I will be singing with Dr. Herbert Jones and the Let Freedom Sing Choir that's co-directed by Chris Rust. And that's going to be a streaming event. They decided for safety precautions to make it a live stream only event. And I believe the website for that is letfreedomsing.net. And I believe showtime is 7 p.m. So that's my later today. I'm very excited about that. We're going to have soloist Chantal Braziel and Anquanique Kinsel are both performing the solos, and I'm just singing in the choir, but it's really beautiful music, and it's all civil rights, justice-oriented music in celebration of Dr. King Day, and just honored to be part of it. And then also this last 2 or 3 months, I've been working as the social media coordinator for the Pittsburgh Racial Justice Summit, now in its 24th year. And it was founded in 1995 after the police murder of Johnny Gamage. And
that's coming up next week.
It's next week. Yeah. Part of me was like, should I really go on the radio show? I sure have a lot of work to do for the summit. But I was like, no, I could talk about the summit.
There you go.
Yeah.
It's a rationalization.
I'm very excited. Yeah, the Friday night keynote is going to be really a beautiful ceremony. We have Dr. Jones and the Pittsburgh Heritage Gospel Chorale is going to be doing a choral rendition of Lift Every Voice. And we have internationally renowned Pittsburgh authors, Damon Young of What Doesn't Kill You Makes You Blacker, and Brian Broom of Punch Me Up to the Gods, and Disha Filyaw of The Secret Lives of Church Ladies will be having a fireside chat. We're going to have a libation ceremony performed by Brother Min, and that's just the Friday night. And then Saturday is all of the sessions and all of the workshops. And for all of that information, you can, if you go to PittsburghRacialJusticeSummit.org. There's links. If you go to my link tree, my Fat Mandy link tree, all the links are there. linktr.ee/FatMandy. Links to the summit, links to Let Freedom Sing, links to my upcoming single release, and I have a concert next Saturday I'm really excited about at Song Space at First Unitarian. Very excited about that. I'll be playing with pianist Victor Garzotto, saxophonist Tony Campbell, and drummer Dennis Garner. And that's going to be both an in-person event and a streaming event. You can buy tickets to both. So,
and Brian Junker is here.
I see. He's hanging out. Hey, Brian, for those of you in the listening audience, you can't see, but Brian Junker from UU Songspace is here in person in the corner underneath the monitor. So.
Yeah, he's here. And those are great shows, whether you choose to attend in person or by streaming. They're beautifully curated. And the date on that one, let's see.
Songspace is going to be 22nd. Yeah, so go to the summit Friday night online. It's all online. Go to the summit online all day on Saturday. And then bop on over in person to 605 Morewood, or bop on over on Zoom to my show at Songspace First Unitarian Church.
You're hard to keep up with.
I'm not. I have an email list. All you have to do is have a calendar.
I meant to actually go to all these events.
Well, they're all Zooming. Yeah. You can Zoom. You can do it all from the couch. That's the beauty of the 21st century.
It seems like the 22nd.
I was watching Buck Rogers last night, yes.
Fat Man D is here. You're listening to the Saturday Light Brigade. What would you like to do next?
We just did Footprints, which is going to be on my next upcoming record that Deanna is on. Do I have anything else on here that's going to be on the record, or should I do? Oh, let's do Your Racist Friend. This is a fun song. This is not one that I wrote. This is one that I actually recorded with Liz Berlin on Social Justice Disco, but it was written originally by They Might Be Giants.
Huh, I remember this song.
So I like this one a lot. And I think that if people don't know what to say to the racists at their party, they should learn this song and just sing them this one, because it works just fine. Talking to you and your racist friend. It was the loveliest party that I ever attended. If anything was broken, I'm sure it could be mended. My head can't tolerate this bobbing and pretending. Listen to that racist and the madness he be saying. This is where the party ends. I can't stand here listening to you and your racist friend. I know politics bore you, but I feel like a hypocrite talking to you and your racist friend. Take it, yeah. Kitchen to the bedroom to the hallway. My friend apologizes, he can see it my way. I let the contents of the bottle do his thinking. Can't shake the devil's hand and say you're only kidding. This is where the party ends. I feel like a hypocrite talking to you and your racist friend. I know politics bore you, but I feel like a hypocrite talking to you and your racist friend. Everybody in America, this is where the party ends. I can't stand here listening to you and your racist friend. I know politics bore you, but I feel like a hypocrite talking to you and your racist friend. Yeah.
Fat Man, Dia Dieta Witkowski, and that's a song you almost want to have on your phone, like as a ringtone or just available.
You can. If you go to socialjusticedisco.com, you could download it right now or anywhere you find your fine purveyors of streaming music.
If you want to pass along a message real easily, if you're listening now to let Deanna and Fat Man D know how much you're enjoying listening to them. You can text us 412-200-5975, and we'll be sure to relay it. And it's there's a lot of folks listening now, enjoying the music that you're bringing along. There's a project you brought to that we'll take a listen to at some point. Virgil and Kay?
Oh, I'm so excited about this. So my current musical project that I have been working on for the last six or maybe a longer, actually, last year, I would say, over pandemic, I joined a songwriting academy based in London. And they promised that we'd get to work with hit songwriting mentors who are still currently working in the music industry. And I was, I took a couple of their workshops before I signed in, and it's been a really wonderful experience just to work with people who are working right now in the industry and who are great musicians and kind people, you know, and really want to, you know, share what they know with people who will put it to use. And so this is a new song that I've written since joining the Songwriting Academy, and I wrote the lyrics and I co-wrote it with my dear friend Reggie Watkins. Reggie is an incredible trombonist and musical director. He used to be Maynard Ferguson's musical director. He's toured with The Temptations. He's toured with Jason Mraz. His resume is incredible. His most recent tour, he was with the Postmodern Jukebox. But he's a dear friend of mine. He's been on every record of mine since 2002. And Virgil and Kay, if you went to Pittsburgh jazz concerts or poetry readings in Pittsburgh I moved here in the late 80s, so they were on my radar in the early 90s when I started going out, and they were at every gig. They were not performers, they were fans, and they were always there. Virgil and Kay, I don't think they were actually married, but Virgil passed a couple years ago, and Kay passed very shortly into the pandemic. And they were just super social, and the last time I saw Kay, she was at City of Asylum. We were at City of Asylum enjoying someone's concert, and then she wanted to go to Reggie's session. And I said, well, Reggie's session's in Carnegie. I can't really stay out tonight. I have an early morning. She said, no, just drop me off. Somebody will take me home. And I'm like, girl, you're in your 70s. What? She's like, no, I'll be fine. And she was.
Relying on the kindness of
she was. She
the
made
community.
It home, and she was at every jazz gig, and I just miss them. And the audience is so important. You know, like doing the streaming shows is great and everything, you know you're connecting with people, but there's something so special about knowing that you're not creating art in a vacuum. You're doing it for and with, even if it's just one person, but a group of people, you know, there's an energy exchange, and it's a spiritual, sacred thing for me. And I miss them. I miss Virgil, I miss Kay, and I love my audience. So I wrote this song, and Reggie did the melody and the arrangements and directed the recording session. And the recording session, we had Dr. James Johnson from the co-founder of the Afro-American Music Institute on piano, Eli Narragon on bass. The horns were Reggie Watkins, J.D. Chasson, Tony Campbell, Chris Hemingway, and our drummer is the great Roger Humphreys.
What a great group.
It was killer. It was killer. We did the session at Hyde Studios. And so far I've done two sessions. We did three songs on that day. We did three songs on another day. And I have to talk to you, Deanna, about February because I need to book a third session. But
well, let's
talk. If you're probably going to be somewhere.
We can do it now. Do you want to negotiate
on the air?
You
pull out your book.
No.
Yes.
But at Eli, I'm glad to hear. I remember Eli as a teen just being a phenomenal bass player, and he's showing up at a lot of – he's getting a lot of work.
Well, I mean, he's a great bassist just as a musician, but also he's super outspoken about racial justice.
He's a good guy.
And that's super important to me. Like, I can't work – we do jazz. This is music that was built by people from the African diaspora. This isn't black people's music. So if you aren't willing to defend the modern day descendants and fight for what you know is right, you have no business playing this music.
Let's take a listen now. This is called Virgil.
Virgil and
Kay.
Kay, yes. My love song to my audience, and specifically Virgil and Kay.
Here we go.
Nobody's heard it yet. This is the first time it's ever been played. Reggie didn't even tell me if it's okay. Here we go. Oh, God.
It starts real nice. Here it comes.
Virgil and Kay, Virgil and Kay. Every gig was a hang with Virgil and Kay. They knew the band and everyone's name. They even knew the lyric to My Old Flame. Staying out late, all over town. Showed us all what it meant to really be down. Wish that I had told you, think of your need, and how we love to see you come in from the street. Virgil sounded just like Miles Davis, with smoke in his voice, he would rejoice. Kay's face lit up like roses in swing, but now the harmony is missing from his beautiful arrangement. Virgil and Kay, Virgil and Kay, every gig was a hang. Virgil and Kay, they're the sweet dog, but I love them just the same. You know, the vibe was always better with Virgil and Kay. Every gig was a hang with Virgil and Kay. They had to take off, but I thought them just the same. You know, the vibe was always better with Virgil and Kay.
You heard it here first. Virgil and Kay, featuring that great backing group of musicians, Reggie Watkins doing the tune and leading the band there, I believe.
Yeah, and, Reggie killed it.
Fat Man D with the lyric and vocal and salute to Virgil and Kay. I don't think I've met them. Off the air, I was mentioning to Mandy that Ricky and I are somewhat wallflowers, it seems, these days. We're trying to correct it. We're not out as much as we should be. There's so much great music to listen to in town now.
Pittsburgh, in my opinion, has become, Pittsburgh always was, but now because, you know, we can advertise and promote and market ourselves so much more easily with the advent of the internet and, you know, the breaking down of, you know, barriers, you know, as to who can get whose story out. You know, like, Pittsburgh is now obviously the city that we always wanted it to be, in my opinion.
Yeah,
and
it
always was. You just had to really dig. Now you can search on the internet pretty quickly and find it if
you want
to.
There's a nice egalitarian scale that can be made even more so. By the way, uusongspace.com is how you can learn directly about the whole Song Space at First Unitarian
series. It's a beautiful
series.
I've been wanting to be part of that series for a long time, and I'm really honored that my first, you know, solo public concert of the year is going to be there. And like I said, it's going to be in person and streaming, so if you're skeezed out by going out, if you're not in Pittsburgh and you would like to tune in, you know, it's really easy. I believe tickets are $20 to $25, though online there's a $10 option, you know, for student and low income, and also online, I think, in person too. And then online, I have a $75 VIP. If you just want to support me, I'll hang out with you for a half an hour prior to showtime on the Zoom.
That'll be fun. Prior to showtime.
Yeah. So I'll be touching up my lipstick, and the band will be running away from me as I try and get them on the phone to say hello. And
I wonder if, Ricky, make a note, like, we could do a video thing where I put on my lipstick and stuff before.
Yeah, I would pay show. $70 to watch you put on lipstick, Larry. I absolutely would. Yeah, there's no question about that in my mind. Yeah.
You're listening to the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade Saturday Mornings on Community Radio. Thank you for doing that. We have Fat Man D and Deanna Witkowski along with us today. What do you want to do next?
I was thinking maybe we'd do another cover from the record. So we do a whole lot of originals because, like I said, I did Moaning.
If you said what I think you said, I can't wait.
I think I did.
Did you say the John Hendricks song?
He did sing it. Yes.
Did he write it?
No.
It
was written by Bobby Timmons.
Yeah. I realized that right after I said it.
Yeah, but Lambert, Hendricks, and Ross did. I don't sound like them. If you're expecting me to sound Lambert, Hendricks, and Ross, we are for a sad, disappointing moment.
I've heard that song done by so many people. I can't wait to hear it done by you.
Yeah, me too. I haven't sung this since a jam session with Tony Campbell a couple of months ago, so. And the recording session, which was before that. So, but it's off the record. Footprints is going to be on the record. Monin's going to be on the record. Virgil and Kay. And I hope you like this tune. Did I tell you what key?
Oh, you didn't. I just assumed.
Do-do-do-do. Yeah, that'll work. Welcome to rehearsal, folks. Good morning. One, two, three, four. Oh, I started? Welcome to rehearsal. Here we go. Every morning find me moaning, 'cause of all the trouble I see. Life's a losing gamble to me. Everybody knows I'm moaning. Every evening I am moaning. I'm alone and crying the blues. I'm so tired of paying these dues. Everybody knows I'm moaning. And I spend many days and nights alone with my grief. And I pray, morning I am moaning. I'm alone and crying the blues. I'm so tired of paying these dues. Every evening I am moaning.
That gives me chills. And I think John did the lyrics to that song.
Oh, I'll have to look that up. It
was bugging me. I'm just kind of a John Hendricks. I'm a huge fan. I've seen him. Well, I had seen him many times. And Bobby Timmons did the music,
yeah.
And he did the lyrics.
Oh, I'm going to look that up. Thank you.
And the Jazz Messengers were the first to record it. And what a great, oh, my gosh.
Well, you know, I mean, like, when you have that lineup in the studio, you've got Dr. J, you've got Roger Humphreys, you've got Tony Campbell. You know, like, what are you going to do? Like, and I sent this song to one of my mentors at the Songwriting Academy because he's helping me with vocal production. And he's like, you know what, Mandy, it's a shame you couldn't get the band to swing a little harder. I was like, what are you talking about? He's like, no, I'm messing with you. I'm joking. That was a joke because I don't interpret people from London. I don't get their humor immediately. But he was being super dry, and I was about to jump through the Zoom and be like, no,
I could just picture that. You know, Mandy.
It's a shame you couldn't get them to swing just a little bit harder. Like, what are you talking about, Julian?
You two sounded amazing on that. And that's a song I've probably, you know, heard a few hundred times by different people. And I have a new favorite rendition. It sounds Yay. Really good. Deanna Witkowski and Fat Man D here. So much happening. The Racial Justice Summit, which
next week.
Begins.
Plenty of time to register right now.
Next week, and that's here in Pittsburgh. You also, and I think if you go to Fat Man D's website, you'll find all of these things.
Yes.
And the Song Space concert is a week from today. UUSongspace.com. Simulcast of an in-person show and a program that you can watch remotely. And then tonight, the Let Freedom Sing event, a wonderful Pittsburgh area tradition, is taking place. And that's at 7 o'clock tonight.
Yeah, live streaming as well. And I should mention the first, that song we played, Virgil and Kay, we're going to be releasing that officially February 19th with a big performance at the Oaks Theater.
Nice.
It's going to be Fat Mandy's Mardi Gras extravaganza and single release party. And I've booked way too big a band, so I'm looking for sponsors.
And what about the Fingerprints album? Will that be Footprints? I'm sorry.
That's the same album that Virgin and K is coming out on. Right. So I think on February 19th, I'm going to be out of money in about 2.5 weeks. So I'm going to be launching a pre-sale campaign if people want to support at the single release party in February. So I'm still building that right now. I haven't actually done that yet because I'm really kind of focused on the Racial Justice Summit and the UU Song Space show, which are next weekend, but I'm going to be building very shortly the not a GoFundMe but a pre-sale campaign, because that's what we did for the CD that I produced for Miguel Sage Jr., Songs from the Stone Hoop, and it did very well. We didn't run it as a traditional fundraiser. We said, you know, this is a pre-sale campaign. If you help us build it, then you get all the extra stuff, and then you know that you helped make it happen. And we did that for Social Justice Disco as well, and that went pretty well. So I'm going to do it again.
I just a note from Bob in Washington.
Hi, Bob in Washington.
Who says this live performance is great.
Washington State. I love Washington State.
Oh, Washington, PA.
I like Washington, PA, too. Yeah. My friend Patrick Arena lives there.
Yeah.
I was supposed to play the Pride Festival. I was supposed to play Washington, PA's first ever Pride, and then stupid Rona. I was going to open up for Jill Sobule.
All going to get better.
Brian Edwards was going to be on that gig.
You two could do a really nice song. You are right now.
I love playing with Deanna. She's, you know, anytime I'm blessed to have the opportunity to play with her. She's got her CD coming out. Did you tell them at the MCG Jazz?
We should talk about that. It's called Force of Nature, and it's Mary Lou Williams, an homage to her. Do you want to?
Sure. So it comes out. So I did this for Manchester Craftsman's Guild, and at some of the same. Well, Roger Humphreys is on a few tracks with Dwayne Dolphin. There's two different rhythm sections, and then it's my regular trio, which we all managed to reconvene, even though we're all spread out across the country now. It's with Daniel Foose on bass and Scott Latsky on drums and Clay Jenkins, who teaches at Eastman School of Music up in Rochester, came and played on a few tracks. So it comes out January 28th, but actually you can pre-order it now at my website, which is deannajazz.com. So D-E-A-N-N-A, jazz. And I have a few release concerts coming up. On January 29th, which is in 2 weeks on Saturday, I'm doing just a live stream from my living room on my new Steinway 7-foot piano that my fans bought for me, that we successfully fundraised for over the last 8 or 9 months. So that's going to be at 7 p.m. And then on Sunday, February 6th at 6 p.m., I'll be with a trio with Ava Lintz and George Hyde III at City of Asylum. That's probably going to be virtual only. We're just deciding, you know, seeing how things go in the next couple weeks. And then on the 18th of February, which is a Friday, I'll be with Ava and George at Conalma Downtown. But all that information is at my website at deannajazz.com.
Deanna also wrote the book on Mary Lou Williams, literally, with this wonderful book called Music for the Soul. We talked about it some time ago when Deanna was a guest, right around the time of the book's release. But you can learn more about that at her website, too. The Saturday Light Brigade, we have a little bit of time left here, and Mandy's here with us along with Deanna. And what's next from your vast repertoire, do you think?
Well, I'm wondering, you know, I've really been enjoying singing this song by Rabbi Menachem Creditor. It's called Olam Chesed Yiboneh. I learned it from my dear friend Sarah Stock Mayo and Julie Newman, who are both, Julie's a cantor and Sarah is a, I believe also a cantor. We sang it They taught it to me when we marched through Squirrel Hill after the tragedy at Tree of Life. And the words mean, I will build this world from love. You must build this world from love. If we build this world from love, then God will build this world from love. And I just love it. It's so pretty. You know, I'm a fan of Rabbi Creditor's, most of his politics that I've seen on the internet. And he wrote the song for his daughter when she was born, I think maybe 12 years ago now, maybe longer, I don't know. But it's really pretty. It's not that difficult, I don't think, as far as, you know, lyrics or whatever, but it's such a pretty song. So I haven't planned to record it, but maybe I should. Maybe we should. Maybe that's one that should go on the next record. Who knows? I have another session. I'll be calling Deanna about that later. So,
Olam chesed yibonei Yadadai, dai, 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 dai Olam chesed yibonei Yadadai Olam chesed yibonei Yadadai Olam chesed yibonei Yadadai, yadadai I will build this world from love Yadadai, 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 yadadai You must build this world from love, yadada. If we build this world from love, then God will build this world from love. Olam chesed yibonei
Fat Man D, backed by Diana Witkowski, or along with Diana Witkowski. And what a great song for this Martin Luther King Jr. Day weekend, and also just in general. Mandy, as I was listening to you, I realized something that I've never really thought about before. One of the things I really love about you is you're, how can I put this? You're out there bare and openly presenting yourself in a way. You're not hiding at all in anything.
It's impossible to hide when you weigh almost 300 pounds.
Well, that's not what I... That's
down
not what
to
I'm,
269 now, hey.
You know, that's not what I mean. You're going to make me blush. No, there are times when people sing, and even if they're have as great a voice as you do, yet they still tend to kind of just get lost in the instrumentation behind them. You float above it without obscuring it, but manage. It's just your presence is incredible, and it's really unusual in a positive way. I don't know that I'm expressing
kind,
it.
That's very sweet to hear. That's very kind of you.
I see Diana nodding her head a little bit. Do you know what I mean? It's you're just. There would be a lot of ways to overmix or overproduce or add affectation to your voice. You're a gem and a true original.
I'm just blessed to live in a city and in community with, because now I'm in the internet, it's not just limited to the city, but you know, I'm very lucky and blessed to be in community with so many incredible jazz musicians and now, you know, pop musicians that I met on the internet, you know, and just musicians in general. With my vocal studio that I opened up a couple months ago, with my students, what I'm trying to do is create a kind of like a temple of creative empowerment, you know, and you can't really have a creative conversation if you're going to dominate, and you can't have a creative conversation if you're going to shy away. And I mean, like when I get to work with somebody like Diana Witkowski, and I get to work with somebody like Reggie Watkins or Dr. J or Roger Humphreys, like you can't, there's no hiding behind that, because then you just like, well, what are you doing there then? You know, like you have to, like, you can't dominate, because you can't. Like, I can't dominate those people. I wouldn't want to. That would be weird and bizarre. But like if you're going to have the conversation, you just need to meet them, try and meet them where they're at. I mean, these are instrumentalists and musicians at the height, top of their game, prime of their lives, you know, so just to at least, you know, just not mess it up. That's my goal, really, in life, is just to not mess it up. And that's that's my maxim for today. Just don't mess it up.
Don't mess it up. By the way, you said something earlier about you that I never knew. You said when I moved to Pittsburgh in like 1980, where were you before that?
I was 14 when I moved here, and before that I was in Altoona, Pennsylvania, and Meadville, Pennsylvania, and I was originally born in Youngstown. Mm-hmm. My dad, I didn't move around quite as much as Deanna's family did, but we moved around quite a bit. My dad worked for the railroad, mm-hmm. and we moved every 2 or 3 years.
I understand that.
But in 1989, when we moved here and I enrolled in Alderdice High School, this is where we stayed. And I've traveled extensively since then, but this has always been home since then.
I'm going to say hello to Tommy, who I know is listening.
Tommy Amoeba is listening. He texted me, actually.
Oh, good.
He said, Deanna and I were on fire with a heart emoji and a music emoji and a fire emoji.
Oh, very nice.
From Tommy Amoeba, yes.
Someday we'll figure out how to get emojis on the radio. In some way, I don't know. It'll come
image
out.
Descriptions.
Image descriptions. There you go. Descriptive audio. We have time. We have about 3.5 minutes of radio time left.
Well, should we do? Do you want a song?
If you'd like to.
What did I talk about? I talked about this Racial Justice Summit, Pittsburgh Racial Justice Summit, which is next week. Talked about Less Freedom's Thing, which is today. Talked about Song Space at UU, which is next week. And the Oaks Theater single release for Virgil and Kay, which is in February. So should we close out on Hey Fat Chick, My Theme Song, or Mr. Rogers, You Are Special?
Ooh.
You pick.
I would probably pick You Are Special.
I like You Are Special. We're in Pittsburgh.
I want to just quickly thank Valerie Bundy from Pittsburgh Glass Center, Dr. Nelson Harrison on Pittsburgh Jazz, Home of the Innovators, a virtual storytelling event this coming Monday at 7 o'clock. SciTech Academy, thank you. Thanks to our Streaming Justice students, and thanks to Deanna Witkowski and Fat Man D and Fred Rogers. Oh, and Chad Green for a great mix, and Ricky Berger for great producing, as always.
You are my friend, you are special. You are my friend, you are special to me. There's only one you, just like you, my friend. I like you in the daytime, in the nighttime, anytime that you feel it, that right time for a friendship with me. You see, F-R-I-E-N-D, special. You are my friends, and you are special to me. There's only one in this wonderful world. You are special.
Mandy and Deanna, thank you so much for being with us today.
And thanks, Chad and Ricky and everybody for listening.
Here is hoping we'll see you soon. And you, we are going to meet you here next week. Ricky and I and Chad will be here for the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade. Saturday mornings from SLB Radio Productions.
Well, thank you, Larry. And we had a little bit of an outburst there, which I did not expect. You are tuned to the new sound of the Mon Valley Tube City Online Radio, McKeesport, and independent freeform radio from Carnegie Mellon University, 88.3 WRCT Pittsburgh. It is 12 o'clock.
Your baby where the action is. In every little town across the USA, there's a spot where the people can go every day. Just leave your problems and get away. Come on down and listen to the guitars play. Woo! Dance, dance, dance when you hear that beat. Woo! Dance, 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 get up off of your seat. Woo! Dance, 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 let your backbone slip. Let's go to the place on the Sunset Strip. Oh, baby, come on. Your baby where the action is. If all day long you've been wanting to dance, well, all night long you're gonna have your chance. So don't sit at home just a twiddling your thumb. You can't resist the sound of the driving drums. Woo! Dance, dance, dance when you hear that beat. Woo! Dance, 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 get up off of your seat. Woo! Dance, 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 let your backbone slip. Let's go to the place on the Sunset Strip. Oh, baby, come on. Meet your baby where the action is. Oh, baby, come on.
Let me take you where the action is.
Oh, baby, come on.
Let me take you where the action is.
Oh, baby, come on.
Let me take you where the action is.
It's so neat to meet your baby where the action is. Oh, baby, come on.
Ready, boom, boom, cannon here on Radio 9, where the action is on WRCT Pittsburgh and Tube City Online Radio. Yes, sir. This is where the action is, all right. And if you don't believe that one, I'll tell you another one. Good afternoon, sports fans. It is I, your deacon, a doo-wop, yourself a swing, your cum loudly graduate, the general kids, the groove forgology, Jay Thurber at 12:03. Much more music time. Here to put the move in your groove, the dance in your pants, a little bit of rock and roll to your soul right up until the 3 o'clock hour, and that full-time request line is open at 412-385-7450. Also, taking requests on Facebook and Twitter right now at Jay Thurber Show. Cold out there and cloudy. Looking for a high this afternoon of 26 degrees. Of course, there's a winter storm watch. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. It's snowmageddon. 18 degrees right now.
Hey, now, look alive. And everything lights up, and it make you want to shout. Talk about happiness. That's what we're talking about.
Snow.
Turn on. Oh.
Jail. It wasn't me.